Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We invite your phone calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If you have something you'd like to talk about, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Well, friends, today is an extra special edition of the program. As we've noted, this evening at 6 o'clock, our conference, Stand 2014, begins. And right now, we have all three of the primary speakers for the conference present in the broadcast center. We welcome John Lynch and Andrew Farley to the broadcast. And in addition, of course, my friend Bob Christopher. So, two exciting guests, John and Andrew, and one excited co-host, Richard, and my partner, Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are excited about today, and the event happens tonight, and it goes all the way through tomorrow and half the day Saturday. And I have longed for this. Yeah. And, John, today was the first time I got to meet you face-to-face.
Absolutely.
We've met through Facebook and on the phone and on the radio broadcast, but you look better in person. And it's great to have you. And, Andrew, as always, you're such a dear friend, and we've had a long history together and a great friendship. And welcome to the studios. Usually when you join us, you're out in Lubbock, and today we get to see you face-to-face.
Yeah, it's great to be up close and personal, to be here locally, and I'm excited. This will be fun.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. And you know, our signature verse for the conference is 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. This gospel isn't just a nice, warm, fuzzy story that we pass along to each other. It's something where we plant ourselves, where we find real life and genuine life and can truly be ourselves. And that's what this conference is all about. And I know, John, you're going to talk about what it means to take a stand in the grace of God and in the life of God. And would you mind sharing a little bit of what folks who are going to attend are going to get from your message? What do you hope for them to get?
Well, I hope they see that this grace that we're talking about is not just to get them to heaven, that it's not just a grace that allows them to win a debate, but that it's a grace that allows them to live a life. And we're limping. We bluff. We pretend. So many of us who have been doing this for a while, and we need to be free. And this grace, this, when he says in Romans, sin shall not be master of you because you're no longer under law, but you're under grace. What does that mean? How does that free me? What in the world does grace have that is so powerful for my day-to-day life that it can transform my marriage, my relationship with my kids, the way I see every waking moment? So I'm hoping, along with these two cats, that we get to talk about that, that we get to forum about that, that we get to answer questions about that, that we get to model that, and that we get to try it on, that we get to just say, God, what has that been like for me in really hard health seasons, in things that I don't understand? So I can't wait to tell my story of that journey, and then just to dig into the scriptures, take off that moralistic shame filter, and look at the scriptures together.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be just awesome. And, you know, I just, as we were putting together this conference, I'm just sitting there thinking, I just wish everybody could come and be a part of it. And that's one of the reasons. But you and I were talking today at lunch about this idea of wrestling through these great truths. You know, a lot of times we just kind of take them and say we believe them, and that's all we do with it.
That's right.
And, Gina and I are big American Idol fans, and we love that program. And so every Tuesday and Wednesday we were glued to the television set watching, you know, these people audition and just, you know, pour themselves out there for people to judge and to say you're either good or you're not good. But in those initial auditions, you know, they would sing the song of their choice, and there's three judges standing there, and they're hoping to hear, you know, "Welcome to Hollywood." And if they heard those words, they were issued a golden ticket to grant them entry into the next round. And that's how so many people view Christianity. You know, I've checked off that I believe that Jesus died. I believe he was buried. I believed he was raised from the dead. And give me that golden ticket, and I'm just going to go about my life. Right. But that's not the way it is at all. There's so much more to this salvation story. There's so much more to this life of Christ. It's God showing up in our situation and making a difference as only he can do.
And so many of us, once we get the ticket, we just think it's our job now. It's our, he did all that. Now I got to get to work and somehow prove to him that I'm worthy of this salvation, and proved, and with all the methodology and all the effort and skills of the flesh that I brought into this thing, I now am trying to please him. And he's saying, I'm so tired. And it's not only worthleless, it's really hurts me.
Yeah. Don't you know who I am?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm God. Don't you know? You know that?
So many times that's what we all grew up with, coming up through the church, hearing that very same message.
And not only the church, we did it to ourselves.
Yeah.
I know that nobody taught me that. Nobody had to teach me that. When I felt distance from God, I put that on myself. Yeah. And along with heinous teaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think I knew how to do that. Isn't that interesting? Within 9 months of me believing this beautiful relationship, I traded it.
We're natural-born legalists.
Yes.
I mean, that's our tendency until the grace of God really changes that, changes the way that we think. Andrew, you're going to talk about standing
lunch,
in the truth
probably.
Of God.
You missed lunch with us is what I'm going to talk about.
You're going to talk about standing in the truth of God and standing in the promises of God. What are some of the things that you're going to bring to the table? What are people going to take away from what you're going to be talking about?
Yeah, well, we're going to be looking at Hebrews 8, which to me is kind of a brilliant encapsulation of the new covenant, this new way, this new contract, this new agreement. And in Hebrews 8, you've got various very specific promises. It's interesting to me that you can have people, you know, shaking their fist at heaven, saying they want to get to know God. They're wailing at walls, they're begging, they're marching around campfires, trying to appease some deity. And it's all very sort of nebulous and generic, and there's no specificity to it. But when we get to Hebrews 8, when we get to the scriptures, God is specifically laying out some promises that he's given us. And it kind of, it's a window into his heart and his character. He's showing us who he is. I mean, one of these things is, you don't have to look to stone tablets. This new covenant is about me etching, inscribing my heart's desires on your heart, and etching my passion, my nature onto your mind and heart, so that you want and you know the things that are of me. Also, I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. And that's not a should. It's not you should be my people. It's you will be my people, and I will be your God. I'm going to stick with you. I'm never going to ditch you. I'm going to be with you no matter what. And then lastly, one of the big promises to me is just I will remember your sins no more. And it seems like, Bob, you know, we take a lot of questions week after week. We take questions. We deal with callers' concerns. And that last one, am I a forgiven person? Am I okay? Have I done something to finally just blow it here? Am I, you know, has God let me go this time? Is this one too big, or has there been too many? Have I angered God? Have I out-sinned the grace of God? Have I exhausted the blood of Jesus? You know, this is the sort of stuff that the enemy plays in our minds, and we have to have solid answers for it. So I'm excited about Hebrews 8 and excited about this Stand conference, because for once we can, you know, once and for all, look at the enemy's accusations and really turn from them and stand in the grace of God and ignore him. He's a whiny trial lawyer, the enemy is, and God has already said the trial's over and we're forgiven.
That's good news. That's basic gospel. That's why we call this program what we call it. And, but it's elusive, you know, that our understanding of that basic gospel, you know, is not very commonplace out there. I talked to a lady a couple of days ago, and she's been a part of this ministry for so long, and she was telling me that her mom had passed away just a couple of weeks ago. And the last month of her life, she was in hospice, and this lady was able to care for her and just really be there for her on a day-to-day basis. And she told me that her mom looked at her one day and asked her, you know, do you think God can really forgive me? And she was a Christian. This woman was a Christian, and she had a piece of paper, you know, where she had written, you know, the day that she was saved. She knew that day, and yet still kind of there at the end, you know, one of the most basic questions that we can ask and one of the most basic questions that the gospel answers, she didn't know if forgiveness was really hers, if Christ had done the work or if she had done enough to earn that forgiveness. And so oftentimes I think as ministers, you know, we kind of struggle in trying to make the message relevant and current and all of those sort of things. And we get beat up as well thinking, oh, these folks have heard that. Mm. They've heard that 1,000 times. You don't need to go back over that again. But yes, we do, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, there's kind of a trend towards entertainment. And if we don't watch it, yeah, we can have our smoke and our awesome music, and we can have Jack Bauer and 24 and a series related to that, and we can entertain, and people are dazzled. And then you say, but what content, what substance am I walking away with? Because I've still got questions. I've still got these hurts. I need healing. Where are the answers going to come from? Because being dazzled for 45 minutes is not doing it. And so, you know, my story is that I was a Christian for, you know, a couple decades and had never really heard any message on these promises of the new covenant, any message about how to stand in the grace of God to this degree. So, you know, this event and the resources that'll come out of it, I think they're going to just be a really valuable tool to anybody that's looking for getting real stable and secure in the love of God.
Absolutely. Andrew Farley, John Lynch joining Bob Christopher and me on the broadcast today as we prepare for Stand 2014 starting at 6 o'clock tonight, registration. And for those of you listening online in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there's still plenty of time for you to walk up to the door and join us. We'd love for you to do that. Right now, if you'd like to pose your question to Andrew, John, and Bob Christopher, why, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are open, time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377.
You just have come out with a new book, Andrew. It's going to release in July, I think July 1st, Relaxing with God. Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
I got a preview copy and really excited about that, and I think those at the conference may have a chance to buy a copy of that as well. At the beginning of that, you tell your story. I mean, what life was like for you as a believer before you knew the grace of God, and it's pretty gruesome as far as the strictness of it.
Yeah.
What compelled you to be so highly motivated to, you know, to go out and try to tell people about Jesus and all of these things that you were doing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to describe it other than an intensity, a drivenness. I had picked up, you know, I put my radar out to the Christian world, and I'd basically picked up that read your Bible and share your faith were the ultimate in Christian experience. And I didn't want to be a little bit close to God. I wanted to be really, really close to God. So if this is the formula, then I'm going to do it if it kills me. And it almost did. I mean, I was in neighborhoods full of drug dealers. They were hitting me over the head. I was saying I loved them and preaching Christ to them. I was on the streets of Greece and Italy. I was in halfway houses, prisons, jails. I was failing out of college in order to share Jesus. I was going to the 24-hour grocery store at night so I could find somebody who I could share with, so I could feel better, so I could sleep. And you say, so you could sleep. Well, yeah, it was about me. It was about me and peace of mind and being okay with God. I knew I was heaven bound. I mean, I had my heaven theology figured out. Okay, it's by grace, not by works. I would have told anybody that. But I wanted God to like me. I mean, I just wanted him to approve of me, to like me. And so, you know, Bob, I was just on this adventure, if you want to call it that, of jumping through hoops. And the hoops were always getting higher and harder to jump through. And ultimately, I crashed and burned and was ashamed and embarrassed at my lack of obedience and beat myself up. I was in a depression for a while. And
how old were you then?
This was in college. I was 19 and 20 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. And so then, you know, I went home, tried to get some help. I would argue with the counselor. The counselor was trying to help me, and I'd say, well, why aren't you out on the streets like me? And I was convinced, John, I was convinced that I was doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's interesting how today there's a message out there of do more, be radical, be intense, pledge more of your life, give more.
And it appeals to that age even disproportionately.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like a pep rally from age 17 to 23.
They buy it and they drink it. Yeah, absolutely.
And then you go home at 23 years old, and some of us get married, we start having children, we have a family, and then we're like, how in the world does that radical lifestyle that I was supposed to commit to, how does it fit with my normal everyday life?
And I'm ashamed of the life that I'm living because it's so normal. It has children, and I'm not in Uganda today.
Yes.
And I beat myself up that this is how I will be meaningful, and now I traded it somehow. Mm-hmm. And to be able to, as your book is talking about, to be able to be relaxed with where I am right now at this moment and say, it is good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I read that chapter and I was just floored. I've heard your story before, but seeing it in print, I just marveled at the strictness and just the drive of wanting to be your guy. I know that was my story in college. I came to know Christ at a youth camp, and I really didn't know anything. I didn't go to youth camp for a spiritual experience. I went there to have fun because that's what everybody told me it was going to be the funnest week of your life. And we had fun. I mean, we had candy fights at night in the cabin, and we had swimming, and we did all kinds of pranks on everybody. But there was that last night, and the guy that was preaching had this long beard, and he did a lot of the stories of Christ. He portrayed Christ's lives, many of those stories. And, of course, the last night was the crucifixion. And I went into that not expecting anything, and it's like God showed up, and I knew that I needed Jesus. Now, I had no earthly idea why I needed him. I just knew that I did. So I received Christ. Now, I had no earthly idea what that meant, and obviously my life from that point forward didn't show it. But there was something inside that said, you know, God, or Bob, you need to be God's guy. And I didn't do a very good job of that in junior high. I didn't do a very good job of that in high school. And so I went off to college with that as the goal. I'm going to be God's guy. I'm going to do it. And so, like you, Bible study, got to read the Bible. So I started a Bible study reading program, 4 chapters a day. And I would check it off. If somebody asked me, you know, what'd you read? Well, Matthew chapters 1 through 4. Well, what did they say? I don't know. I just read them.
Don't slow me down.
Yeah. Gosh, come on. But I burned out as well, because you can't do it. You can't be God's guy. And I just felt like I was so disappointing to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, that he was just disgusted with me. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you know, I just gave up. I said, I can't be God's guy. All I know I can do is sin. And so off I went. And, of course, that doesn't bring you any happiness. That doesn't bring you any fulfillment. And finally got to a point and said, Lord, something has to give. I know you're the answer. I know I need you. I just don't know why. Tell me. Teach me why. And that's when this grace of God really took root in my heart. And I think your story is similar, isn't it, John?
Very much. You know, as I listen to us talk, so many of us are afraid of forgiveness because we're afraid of what we'll do with it, because we still see ourselves as a saved sinner, not as a saint. Mm. And so we're terrified of receiving forgiveness because we think we'll walk to the back of the room and eventually fade out and lose this relationship with Christ. And people who do believe, no, Christ is enough, he is able to change me and mature me from the inside out, we're accused of taking advantage of that forgiveness. And so there is that fear that will carry a message that is easy believism or any of those kind of things. And so we want to talk about that this weekend too, of mm-hmm. giving ourselves the permission to understand new identity does not take advantage of that, so that I'm not spending my whole time afraid of what would happen if I really did embrace this wonderfully easy, beautiful truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you gave a get-out-of-jail-free card to an unbeliever, they don't have the heart transplant,
they don't
have the DNA swap, they don't have the nature of Christ living in them, the Spirit of Christ living in them, they don't have this transformation. So then, of course, that whole gospel just is... it falls apart. It doesn't make any sense. You're just going to give total forgiveness to a guy and say, now go enjoy planet Earth. Well, that's like a smidgen of the gospel. That's just a portion of the message, total forgiveness. But what we're going to include this weekend is, whoa, I mean, you don't have this wicked, wicked heart anymore. God gave you a new heart and a new spirit and his spirit living within you. And even when the three of us were in the stuff we were dealing with, trying to please God and get him to like us and all that stuff, we already had the new heart. It's just that that new heart was covered up with a bunch of junk, a bunch of religious junk that it prevented us from seeing what we wanted. We were so busy thinking of what we should do that we couldn't see what we wanted to do.
That's right. Well said.
Kind of leaves us speechless with that. I mean, that's good stuff right there.
That dog will hunt.
Yeah, yeah, it will. It'll preach. Yeah. And we might want to use that or something.
Well, it's available.
That's good. I was listening to you, and I'm putting together a book right now, and I did some research, and something that struck me, it's when you think of this idea of freedom, you know, we're going to abuse that. That's the fear. And if you tell people they're totally forgiven, they're just going to go out and do whatever they want. And certainly the world feeds into that type of thinking. There was a study done not too long ago, and this study followed 400,000 prisoners that were released in 2005. And so they wanted to find out what was going to happen to those 400,000.
Yeah, the recidivism rate.
Oh,
yeah.
It was amazing. I think it was 80%.
It
in
is.
5 years,
yeah.
80% were back in jail. So we take those types of statistics and we project those onto Christianity. So if we open up the prison doors and let people out into freedom, they're just going to be right back here soon enough. They're going to mess up. They're going to get back in their old way of life. They're going to do their old thing. But when those prisoners were released, they were just released by themselves. When we come to Christ, we no longer journey alone.
Yeah.
God has shown up. We get him. We got him. And that's something that we don't understand. The fact of Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
And when we understand that Christ is truly alive inside of us, I think we can have incredibly enormous, great expectations as far as what he's going to do inside of us. I actually believe that we can walk in assurance of faith.
Yeah.
Why? Because Christ is there. I actually believe we can say no to sin. Why? Because Christ is there. I actually believe that we can bear the fruit of God's life in and through us. Why? Because he's there. He showed up, and we're never, ever alone. And that's what this conference is all about. And John and Andrew, I just want to say publicly, thank you so much for being a part of
this.
Yeah, thank you for coming and sharing of your lives with us, sharing of your lives with those who are going to be here. I think it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful time together.
Just even listening to this, I go, gosh, like-minded, similar heart brothers and sisters, and we've never met each other before. And you were learning these truths in different places of the world, and it's the same truth. It's the
Absolutely.
Original good news.
Mm-hmm.
It's so profound.
Well, friends, today is the day. On-site registration for Stand 2014 featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, Frank Reed, and Bob Christopher begins at 6 o'clock today. And there's still plenty of room for you. For those of you listening online in the DFW metro area, you're welcome to register at the door, as I said, beginning at 6 o'clock this evening at the Hope Center. And that's at 2001 West Plano Parkway in Plano, Texas. 2001 West Plano Parkway, the Hope Center. And thanks again to our friends John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and of course, as always, to Bob Christopher for being with us on today's broadcast and for your special roles in the conference coming up beginning tonight. So now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another special edition of Basic Gospel.